Welcome to the NCNCA Women's Series podcast, Our Work Works, where you can sit in with us. In this interview series, we'll encourage you to participate in competitive cycling and deal with difficulties we all face in growing our sport. In this episode, we honor our history and explore the roots of road racing in Northern California with Meredith Nielsen and ask many of the questions that face new racers. Every interview we do will be formatted like a race, where we warm up, race, and sprint through questions together right before asking you, when is your next race?
My name is Meredith Nielsen and race age 62. When I first started racing, if you had 10 women show up at a race, either a road race or a criterium, that was like a big field. In about 2000 was the beginning of what has come to be known as the Lance Armstrong bump. Our district kind of grew by leaps and bounds, and a woman named Brooke Kuhn moved here from the southeast, and she started what she called the Bay Area Women's Series, and pretty much single-handedly created what was the model for the NCNCA Women's Series, and just worked her butt off to find sponsors, to give cool prizes for people, and just advertise it more. We had monthly rides that met all over the Bay Area, and stuff just started going crazy from there. So like when you would show up at Snelling, there'd be 75 Cat 4 women in the field. So we really had a heyday for a while, and I think we had the opportunity to leverage those numbers to encouraging promoters to have separate women's fields, separate categories for women fields, equal prize money, and better prizes for women. I think it was maybe around 2012 when we were planning another Berkeley Hills road race, which is probably the oldest continuous road race in the country. And I just asked if could we this year offer equal prize money to women. And of course, there's the usual arguments that the fields are smaller, and so if you're splitting up the same amount of money for 10 women versus a field of 75 guys, does that seem equitable? My argument always boils down to, these are the people that show up. Doesn't matter if they're men or women. They train as hard, they race as hard as either. So you should reward them equally. And there was a couple email exchanges from people that were mostly concerned about finances and, why we should pay out equal amounts of money and prizes. But those sort of quickly evaporated, and we've just been offering same prize money ever since. So,
and how long have you been volunteering at Berkeley Hills Road Race?
Ever since I moved to Berkeley in 2000, and maybe a year or so before that when I was living in the city and I was a Berkeley Bike Club member. But my partner Hal and I have promoted the race a couple times, which is a heck of a job.
How many times have you raced it yourself?
Zero.
Zero.
Zero. I think when I was kind of a beginning racer, I was intimidated by the course, and because I've gotten to be a lot better climber than I started out being. But then when you get involved in the bike club, it's pretty hard, and I'm one of those people that when I decide to do something, I usually take on too much. So I would have like 6 jobs at the Berkeley Hills Road Race, which didn't really leave time for me to, jump on my trainer and race and then come back and finish up my 6 jobs. So that I use that as an excuse to never have to race it. And the only time I was going to do it, I got sick. So, and it rained. So that was kind of saying to me cosmically, it's like, Meredith, maybe you weren't really, this is one of the races that you shouldn't do, because it's the only race, you know, like that around here that I have not done.
Is there any race in particular on the NCNCA calendar that you think would be great as a first race?
Well, it depends on if you really want to go for it, any sort of road race, I think. Again, mass start event, but I think one of Steve Rosefield's bump races would be good. It's a circuit race on a like 7 mile course, kind of hilly, but even if you did get dropped, which means you get left behind and have to ride by yourself, it's, you know, it's safe to navigate by yourself. There's a lot of groups that would be going by you. Yeah, it's a good test of a rider. Also, any time trial event for those who are a little bit less sure about their ability to ride in a group. Those are great ways to test your fitness, see if you're as fast as maybe you think you are or need to get out there and work harder to get faster. But you're starting by yourself, you're racing against the clock. You don't have to worry about crashing into someone or someone crashing in front of you. So those would be good. Probably a race that's flatter rather than hillier can be good for a lot of people. So, you know, we have mostly in Northern California, our road races happen in the spring, the winter and the spring, and then we criterium events, which tend to be flatter and more fast and furious, happen more this time of year. So kind of depends on what your strengths are. If you're a good group rider, if you don't mind being, you know, right next to somebody else going really fast, criterium might be for you. But if you're, you know, would rather ride more at your, not at your own pace, but a little bit farther apart than other riders, a road race could be a better idea for your first race. One of my friends who's in the Berkeley Bike Club, her name is Narda Rushdie. She didn't start riding bikes, period, like not at all, until she was, I think, 40-something. I was just at her house the other day, and she has a big collection of medals that she's won from Masters National Championships. And she was saying, oh, well, this is just some of them. So she started from there and just has persevered and loves it. And she's 66 or something now and still racing. I think finding a coach or team to be with is a piece of advice that I wished I had followed. I think I did my first road race when I was 43. And I just sort of stumbled around reading stuff and, you know, talking to people my first year or so. And then I started with Wenzel Coaching and I joined a team. And that made a huge difference for me. Just the learning curve went way up. There was a lot more resources for me to learn quicker about racing in general. And also, it's just a lot more fun to go to a race with friends. It's, you know, fun to carpool. It's fun to talk about the race afterwards. And so kind of regardless of your result, the end result should be, man, I want to go back and try that again. I want to try to do a little bit better. This is what I could have done better. This is, you know, what I did well. And it's just the whole process is quite amazing and very similar to a lot of things that we do in life, where you just have to keep at it and try to get a little bit better every time you do it. So when I started the Left Coast Racing Team, we met as a team every Saturday at Domingo Pete's, of course. And mostly it was just training, ride, endurance, but then we would also practice different skills, you know, pace line riding and leading people out for the sprint signs. And that's something I don't really notice happening now. I'm out there on my bike all the time, and I don't see groups of women in the same kit riding together. I mean, fast women that look like they race or, you know, are just super fit. Like, you know, I'd love to see Amy and her four of her teammates in all the same kits out there riding on Saturday mornings. And even some of our large teams, I don't, you know, women's teams, I don't see them doing that. So, it definitely is motivating to be able to ride, especially with your teammates, not just your friends, but people that you will actually be racing with. So you get to know their little nuances, how they ride, what are their strengths, what are their weaknesses. In a group, a lot of times the objective or the goal for the strongest person in that group is to help the people that are not so strong. And you can do that in a lot of different ways, whether it's just saying, hey, get on my wheel, showing them how to do that correctly so it benefits them, makes it fun for them, you know, giving people a push. Although that's something that if anyone tried to push me ever, I would probably reach out and sock them, but because I just, that doesn't work for me. So asking someone if you could, if it's okay if you push them. But just encouraging them, because it's an art form to learn how to ride in a group. It's something that takes a while to be able to do well. So I think everyone has tales of being dropped on their first group ride. I know I was the first time I rode with the BBC up tunnel, and we're riding along the top of the ridge, and I couldn't believe that I was the last person. It's like, there's got to be somebody behind me, because I thought I was kind of a strong rider. So that was kind of a wake-up moment for me. And there's no way everyone's going to be on the same page fitness-wise in any group. There's always going to be slower, and there's always going to be faster people. That's just a given. So you just have to, you know, figure out where you fit in with whatever group you decide to ride with. I know when I've been injured or been sick, or for one reason or another, I don't feel competitive enough to ride with the BBC guys. I think riding by yourself is the perfect way to get more fit. And you just have to find the motivation within yourself to get out there and ride by yourself. And then just have to realize that everyone has been in that same position. For one reason or another, they're slower now than they were a while ago, and you just can't let that discourage you. So get out there every day, try to get a little bit fitter, a little bit fitter, and then I think it's everyone's responsibility to find their tribe to ride with, and that could be anyone. Just two or three people, more can be more fun. Just people that you can hang with, but a lot of times it's good to be not quite the fastest person, so you have to work a little bit harder to keep up, and it just gives you good motivation, and it's just so much fun to ride with other people and to be motivated by them.
What advice would you give a new racer or someone training and racing for the first time how to power themselves on two wheels?
That's a great question, because my background in sports before road racing was running, and that was kind of back in the day when sports gels were not part of the equation. So, and I would go do a marathon training run of 15 miles, and I knew where water fountains were at gas stations along the way, but I wouldn't bring water with me like you should now. So yeah, there was an awful lot to learn when you were on the bike and you could actually have food and water with you. We were at a Berkeley Bike Club meeting last night where we were lucky enough to have Nate English come and talk about that a little bit with our club. And there's so much information about nutrition and hydration in sports and on the bike that his advice, and I would definitely agree, is that it's mostly about using common sense. You drink when you're thirsty. There's a kind of a benchmark of about, for every hour you're on the bike, drinking a bottle of water, which is, you know, 12 to 20 ounces, and fueling yourself with whatever food that you like and will eat. Can be convenience things like energy bars, or it can be real food that you have wrapped up and put in your jersey pocket. But, you know, again, your body will tell you when you've not had enough, and probably in kind of an alarming way sometimes when you really, you know, fail miserably at eating and drinking correctly. You can't say do this all the time, because if it's hot, if it's cold, if it's a long ride, if it's a short ride, if it's a hard ride, if it's an easy ride, there's a lot of variability. But find some basic rules that you should follow, and then it's, again, like the rest of racing, it's a learning process about what works for you as an athlete, what makes you feel good, what you like to eat and drink. Again, a coach can certainly help you weed out all the information and misinformation that there is about eating and hydrating out there.
What advice would you give a new rider to help them avoid falling into disordered eating traps?
As we know, cycling is all about weight versus power. So lighter is usually better. So given that, it's, you know, it can be kind of a slippery slope sometime. But there's also a trade-off between being low weight and not having power, which is usually created by muscle, which weighs a little bit more. So again, it's one of those things that if you have guidance by someone that knows more about nutrition than you do, that is an outside person looking at you and can help you see things that you might not be able to see yourself. Again, it's about using common sense. It's, you know, we're so bombarded, not just in sport, but in everything, about being slim, being, you know, attractive, both men and women. And, you know, you just...
And what can we do to help new and seasoned athletes recognize and, you know, really start talking about eating disorders in competitive racing?
I don't know. That's an idea for the women's committee. Maybe, you know, some sort of group ride and nutrition talk about, you know, eating disorder stuff could be probably a pretty interesting and well-attended thing. So maybe that's something that you can add to your list of 1,000 other things to do, Amy.
I feel like I'll just jump in here on this topic. I feel like there has been a culture of body positivity that has been sweeping across humankind and specifically womankind. And I'm really very excited and very happy about it. And some things that I have consciously tried to change within my language is talking about like how like fit I am versus how strong I am. And just sort of like, it's that very like, you know, slight change of words that takes it out of the like, how much mass do I have versus like, how fast can I go? Because for all of our listeners out there, you don't have to be super slender to be fast and strong. It helps to be slender and have that, you know, have that good weight to power ratio. But you can be, you know, 10 or 20 pounds like over your like ideal weight for your height or whatever and still be a good, fast, strong rider. It's not like a foregone conclusion if you're, you know, if you have curves, you're not, this isn't the sport for you. It is. I've seen many, many women with wonderful, beautiful curves totally kick ass on the course.
I absolutely agree. And I have completely made that mistake myself, seeing women that looked big and powerful and thinking I could climb hills better than them because I'm a little bit lighter. And I was so completely wrong. And again, it's about power. It's about being strong. And so that, I think that was a really good point. From my house, I live in West Berkeley, so going through Montclair up Butters Canyon, which is like a nice little canyon with no houses, and then to Redwood Road, which I brought some of my old teammates when I was racing for Left Coast. I had some teammates that lived down in the valley, down Modesto area, and they couldn't believe how lucky we were to have to be able to ride through the redwoods kind of whenever we wanted. And I agree. So riding down redwood, nice swoopy turns, a good place to practice pace line with your team, and then climbing up over South Pinehurst, again, a really nice climb. It's kind of the perfect pitch for me. And then either coming back Pinehurst or else going to Moraga and coming back Orinda and Wildcat is like, you know, 2-hour loop, just beautiful. And we're so lucky to be able to have that as a place that we can go every day if we want. One of my, you know, supreme moments on my bike, we were riding up King Ridge Road, which is west of Casadero in Sonoma County. Beautiful road, nothing out there, pretty steep, so you're climbing kind of slowly a lot of times. And I was with this Danish friend of mine, and I think maybe once before I had seen wild pigs up on that road. So I was telling my friend Frank about the wild pigs, and in truly less than 2 minutes after I was telling him about it, this huge pig peloton swept down across the road where we were riding, and they did exactly what cyclists would do in a group, where there was probably like 30 of them, like, you know, mothers and little baby piglets, and they just kind of did this beautiful kind of weaving across this road that we were on and followed the road for a while, so we were able to watch them, and then they kind of dove down off the road into the shrubs. But it was like, oh my God, it was just like, it was, and I'm a huge animal person, so that to me was like, you know, highlight. Now wherever I go riding, you know, in kind of wild country in California, I'm always searching for wild pigs. I found out about Biryani by going up to the race. I was one of the other things I did is I was also the mentor coordinator for the NCNCA's fabulous mentoring program that we have in our district, which is providing experienced racers to ride alongside the beginning racers, both men and women, in the races themselves, and making sure people do practice safe skills while they're racing, have the ability to kind of correct people out on course, and then and after the race have a little Q&A about what went well and what didn't go so well, and just provide the opportunity for people to you know, immediately find out about how well they did as a group and individuals when they were out there racing. So I was mentoring up at Biryani, and I never even knew that that olive oil factory was out there off of I-5. And I think Sebastian, is that Mr. Biryani, has always been hugely supportive. I'm not sure who got Biryani signed on originally, but yeah, they're just one of the many sponsors that, first of all, gave us a chance to have bike races there and continued to be supportive.
What's different about NCNCA Women's Series events from other events you've been to?
I think one of the things that we actually ended up sending out a survey to women riders in the NCNCA before we did the first Women's Series, or maybe it was the year after we did the first Women's Series, but just a whole series of questions about what are you looking for in racing, what would encourage you to come to a race, what would encourage you to come back to a race, and it seemed that a lot of women were appreciated having a more social atmosphere to racing. So not at all meaning that it wasn't competitive, because it certainly is, but just more welcoming, more giving women a chance to meet each other from and other teams to meet other teams, and to just be able to celebrate the fact that all these women show up for a race. and make that important, make them feel welcome, make them feel like they want to come back, and just provide a positive atmosphere for racing no matter how well you did. And I think that was is a goal that we should continue to do, because it is, racing is kind of the same for everyone. I mean, it's like everyone wants to get across the line first, but I think for women, they have the capability of supporting and being together a lot better than men. I mean, just the opportunity to get to know one another in your racing community, because you're going to be seeing those same women out there at most of the races that you do. So just providing the opportunity to get them to know each other a little bit better, make them feel special, make them want to come back, give them goals to shoot for, as a NCNCA series prize. So competition, but get to know who you're competing against and know each other as people, not just bike racers.
Thank you again so much for being here. It's such an honor and having your presence. And thank you again for coming into KGPC and sharing with us your story and the history of NCNCA women's racing and helping us grow the sport.
You are very welcome. The future of road racing is going to be up to you ladies. So I hope that people like me can provide some sort of history and context about what did happen, and I'm looking forward to see what will happen with road racing in Northern California.
Okay, so coming up, we have three races we want to tell you about. First, the San Ardo Road Race, which is Saturday, August 18th. Second, Tempest Fugit Individual Time Trial. I've actually never known how to pronounce that word, Fugit. However you want to do it. Nonetheless, that will be on Sunday, August 19th, and that's 55 plus only. And then third, Winter's Road Race, which is Saturday, August 25th, and that race on the NCNCA women's calendar is for 3, 4, and 5 category women only. So you've been listening to the NCNCA Women's Series podcast, Our Work Works, where you can sit in with us. Thanks to KGPC Peralta Community Radio, USAC, and the NCNCA for making this podcast possible. And thanks to the presenting sponsor of the NCNCA Women's Series, Bariani Olive Oil. Thank you for listening. We're here with Meredith Nielsen, wondering,
when is your next race?